one of the weaknesses in churches is that sometimes as pastors we are good at telling people what they need to be doing in their spiritual life, but we don't tell them and teach them and how to do it. And I grew up in a home where, or in a church where, okay, you need to pray every day, you need to read your Bible every day, you know, those were two biggies. No one ever taught us how to pray. No one ever taught us how to study the Bible. I mean, like studying, I'm talking about, you know, looking up words and comparing whatever. And Wednesday night prayer meeting was not a prayer meeting. It was a mini Sunday service without the choir, basically, and a little shorter and more informal. And so what we learned is that prayer is just kind of like, this was in a Baptist church, and I'm not saying that to knock it. But it was basically, here's our list and here's what we're asking for. And when I was in seminary for 4 years, would you believe that in 4 years of seminary, and this was an excellent seminary in many respects, there were no classes on prayer. There were lots of classes on the Word, how to study it, how to outline it, how to preach it, you know, all these lexicons, you know, Hebrew and Greek, and there were no classes on prayer. And I'm embarrassed to say that even though I prayed every day, my prayer life, considering all the training I had had, was pathetic. A number of years ago, I got a call from a friend of mine who had a commercial roofing business. And he said, Joel, I would like for you to pray for my business and for my family and my personal requests. And I said, sure, I'll be glad to. I mean, I prayed for them anyway, but he said, I'll get with you when I'm ready to start. So I had no idea that he was planning to pay me to do that. I was, you know, I just thought he wanted me to be a prayer warrior, so to speak. And so, I don't know, a month or two went by, he got in touch with me, and he said, okay, I would like for you to pray for 12 hours a month, and I'm going to give you a list of things that I want you to pray for, a lot of them related to his business. This man had a Bible study for all of his employees that he led. So this guy's a very solid, solid guy. And so I want you to pray for 12 hours a month. I'll pay you $40 an hour. I wasn't even expecting to get paid anything. I certainly wasn't expecting to get paid $40 an hour. But, you know, when you honor the Lord with your money and you're in debt, not because you've been irresponsible, but somebody else in your family was irresponsible, He will come through for you. But what I want to share with y'all from my heart tonight is I had never been in a situation where I had a long list of things to pray about so many times. Because if you think, how long is it going to take you? If you had 20 things that were on the list, how long would that take you? 15 minutes maybe. And it didn't take me very long to figure out that this wasn't going to work very well just to be going through the list and saying, Lord, I'm asking you to do this, 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 and this. So I share that with you just to let you know all of us are in different stages of understanding prayer. And what I want to share with you is things that I learned as a result of having this as a monthly assignment, and coming to the conclusion very quickly that I needed to learn how to pray in a different way that was more biblical, because just going through a list and asking God to answer all of these requests leaves you kind of dead when it's something that you do for 12 hours every month. Does that make any sense? Okay, so let's go to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at three verses that are very well known. But what I want you to see in these verses and understand that they are one sentence with three different imperatives that are given. Okay? One sentence, but because they're separate verses, a lot of times we sort of disconnect those. This is one sentence in the original language in which it was written. These are imperatives, and I want us to look at this, then we're going to compare it with a verse in Philippians, and I think we're going to learn some things that will enhance our prayer time. That's my goal tonight, is for each one in here listening, in whatever level you are, whatever understanding that you have, the Lord's going to, you know, bring you up to a deeper level. But even more than that, when, you know, the Bible says, ask that you may receive, that you may, I can't think of the last word. The Lord wants us to be joyful in our answers to prayer, among others. But there's a personal element in all of this. Prayer is not just obviously asking God to answer our list, but it's an invitation to be connected with Him. And we're going to look at how some of these distinctions come through. All right? So, verse 16. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. I don't know what y'all have. The Dalton Charismatic Version or whatever. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, doesn't say in everything good, everything wonderful, everything that just fits into your box of how you want to live a simple, quiet, peaceful life. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, let me just read it one more time. Again, these are three imperatives, so they're not suggestions. How do I pray without ceasing? I believe that this verse gives us some tips on how we can stay in a mode of prayer by understanding what the first part and the third part, how they fit together. Okay? So, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This word rejoice is an interesting word, and basically it means to delight in. To delight in. So when you look at this verse and you sort of pick it apart, there's a difference between rejoicing and giving thanks, obviously, because he would just be repeating himself. You know, it wouldn't fit. So to rejoice always is to basically delight in the Lord. Delight in His promises. Delight in His character. Delight in His love. You know, it's not so much thanking God for, you know, for good things, you know, quote unquote, good things, blessings that we've gotten, but to delight in Him, in the essence of who He is, of what he has promised, rejoicing in the connection that we have and the privilege that we have of coming to him freely wherever we are, whatever our need is. You know, our biggest need is to connect with him. Over, you show me any problem that we have, our biggest need is to connect with him and allow his presence and his perfection, his goodness, his grace to transform us and to deepen the relationship that he longs to have through our prayer life. I can remember, I think I was either a senior in high school. I believe I was a senior in high school. So once again, here I am in this church, and I made it a point to pray every night. You know, every night before I went to bed, I'd read my little King James Version Bible, because I think at that point there were hardly any other modern versions. This is a long time ago. And I would pray, and it probably wasn't 5 minutes. And one night the Lord stopped me, and he said, "Joel, you're giving me crumbs." I was like, okay, yeah, I actually am, but I hadn't really seen it that way. "Joel, you're giving me the last 5 minutes of your day after you've been in school all day and you've been doing your homework, and you're giving me 5 minutes and you're falling asleep. You get all excited about watching Mission Impossible in the Wild Wild West on Friday nights and Saturday nights. I want you to start having your quiet time before you watch your favorite program." Isn't it amazing how Holy Spirit just... He said... And so I did. I started having my quiet time, you know, earlier in the evening at a decent hour. And it made an amazing difference. I was actually coherent enough to get something from the Word, and I actually was coherent enough to, you know, to be able to not have a crummy prayer. I share that with you because no one had ever taught me anything. All that I had, and this is even going to a Christian, you know, private Christian school all the way through junior high and high school. I don't ever remember a Sunday school class or a training union class. Now you'll know I'm Baptist. That ever taught us how to pray. I don't ever remember even hearing a study, you know, a Sunday school class that would go through what the Bible teaches about prayer. So I was just doing it, you know, the best I knew how, which was pretty sad, very sad, because I sure didn't know anything about rejoicing in the Lord. As it says in Philippians, what does it say? 4:4 says, "Rejoice in what? In the Lord." It's hard for us to rejoice in our circumstances sometimes, is it not? But it does say, "Rejoice always." And I think the only way we can really do that is to rejoice in the Lord. As he said in Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." It was like he had to repeat it, because I can just hear myself or other people saying, "Oh, come on, that's just a bit too idealistic. I mean, you know, really, who could be so connected, so obedient, so, you know, dead to their flesh that they rejoice in the Lord always?" And in case you check that word out in the original language, it means exactly what it says. All the time. That's a tall command, is it not? And only by His grace can we do that. So, I believe that this verse, and we'll see this in Philippians 4:8, and we'll compare it a little bit, but these two are going to parallel. If we are rejoicing in the Lord, and that's in our prayer time, all right, and I understand there are occasions where it's an urgent request, and where you just call out to the Lord, because it's something that's on your heart. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you have a quiet time where you're sitting down to pray about whatever you need to pray about. Okay. So, rejoicing in the Lord to start. Then we pray about whatever's going on in our life, not just petitions. That involves praise, that involves listening, and obviously it involves petitions. But we're going to see when we contrast this with what it says in Philippians, or when we compare it. I really believe that the only way that we can live in a posture of prayer is we have to stay in a posture of praise, of rejoicing and giving thanks. And if we're not doing that, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to stay in a posture of prayer on a constant basis. Do you follow? So can you see how the command to pray without ceasing is placed in between rejoicing and giving thanks? That's where we generally miss it. And I can look at my own life sometimes when I'm praying for people and thinking to myself, well, am I rejoicing in the Lord? Or am I just asking the Lord to do these things in that person's life, answer these requests? Okay, this person is sick. So how can I apply this to that? Well, I could rejoice in the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. I rejoice in the fact that Jesus took 30 stripes for our healing. I rejoice in the Lord because I know that you love and care for this person who is suffering physically. I rejoice because you've invited us to come into your presence with the needs that we have, okay? So that's, I'm delighting in the Lord. I'm, what does the word say in Psalms? It says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will do what? He will give you the desires of your heart. Wow. You know, it's like when we get our priorities straight, it straightens us out and it aligns us for blessings that we wouldn't receive in many cases otherwise. Because what we're doing is what we're saying, delighting in you is more important than me getting the answers to the things that I'm asking you for. Because when I delight in you, you do a work in me, and I learned to see your faithfulness in ways that I probably wouldn't otherwise. A prayer life that's basically focused on just asking God for things gets stale very fast. Really does. Especially when you're praying long term. I have prayed over 35 or 40 years. No, more than that. Over 50 years I prayed for my sister's salvation. It didn't take too many years before I realized that I needed to change the way I was praying. Why? Because my flesh was getting tired of basically bringing the same request up. And so the Lord said, I want you to thank me for her salvation. Praise me for her salvation. Declare it, but praise me for her salvation. Well, you know what? When I praise God for answers to prayer, and this was something I learned when I was praying 12 hours a month, He has it down to 3 now. So 3's a lot easier than 12. Instead of taking the list and saying, Lord, I need you, you know, you need to do this, 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 and this. I went through and just made it a praise time. Thank you, Lord, for these petitions, and I thank you for answering this. Thank you for doing this. It is amazing how motivating that can be instead of deadening, of just repeating the same thing that you've asked for many times. Now, that, hopefully I'm not insulting anyone in here. I'm certainly not saying that I'm, you know, I've made it, because I'm learning too. But if prayer is a boring repetition of what we're asking God for, how motivated are we going to be to stick with it? Have you ever gotten mad at God because it seems like after all the years that you've prayed for a specific thing, you have yet to see that He's coming through the way that you're expecting Him to? Guilty as charged. Especially when you're praying for the salvation of someone in your family that you've been praying for many years and still haven't seen. All right, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. Why? Because this is God's will. You know, some people go, well, I just don't know what the will of God is. Well, this is the will of God. For me to give thanks in not just the good things, not just the promotions, not just the bonuses that I get at my job, in everything. Now, I know there are a lot of people when they see, oh no, I can't thank God for the abuse that I grew up with. I can't thank God for, really, why not? What would stop me from giving thanks in everything? I never gave thanks to God growing up for my mother's mental illness, because I didn't see anything good about it. To me, it was ill. And I hated her for her mental illness. I hated the chaos that it caused. I was like, how did I get stuck with the mother who's in and out of the psych hospitals and in and out of her mind and in another planet, and she doesn't have anything to give because she's lost, you know? I didn't know that the Lord was going to put me in psychiatric hospitals. Dealing with people who had the exact same diagnosis of being bipolar. And He was preparing me for that ministry, that job. But you see, I didn't know, even though I read my Bible, I didn't know that, you know, the Bible says to give thanks in everything. What's the worst thing that you can think of that experience that you've had that you've never come to the point where you can thank God for it, even though you may have felt like it just completely messed up and wrecked your life? I know a lot of people say, oh no, I can't thank God. I can thank God for everything. I can thank God that my wife chose to get rid of me and divorce me. Why? Because it was easy? No. It was very difficult. It was painful. But the Lord took that and He used it to make me sensitive to other people who are either considering it or people who have been through it. A sensitivity I don't think I could have, and an empathy if I hadn't been through it myself. Okay? So, I truly believe, it's interesting because this morning, as I was meditating on this, and I started, I was praying, and I just felt like the Lord wanted me just to delight in Him, like I'm sharing with you. And so I was just delighting in the Lord, and I wasn't asking Him anything. Sometimes when I start to pray, the Lord will just say, Joel, I don't want you to ask me for anything today. I want you just to praise me. Do you realize that praise is a form of prayer? And I would challenge you sometimes to just go, okay, today I'm not going to ask the Lord for anything in my prayer time. I'm just going to praise Him. I'm going to delight in Him. I'm going to give thanks to Him for everything, especially the things that I don't like, the things that are bugging me, the things that are hurting me, the things that are making me feel like, you know, where are you, Lord? You know, are you listening? We would never say that, probably, but sometimes we feel like it, don't we? At least I do. And I want you to know that I was so surprised, because the Lord's, without me asking for anything, the Lord started taking me back to my childhood, my adolescence, and showing me things that I had never forgiven. I had an algebra teacher. I took algebra in the eighth grade. So I was out of my class. These were like ninth and tenth graders. And we had a teacher who was just very socially, he was so smart that he was socially retarded. And his interpersonal skills were really bad. And so I struggled with geometry. I never could understand why we had to take geometry. I was like, I don't think I learned anything. And somehow I managed to, you know, get through without cheating. But anyway, so one day I was asking a fellow student, while he was talking, you know, to explain one of the problems to me, and he called me down. But he literally screamed at me. Literally screamed. Joel Hoffman, were you talking? Literally. I mean, the girl in front of me there almost jumped out of her dress. And so I said, yes! I was like, okay, if you can scream, I can scream too. Then he said, well, if you would pay attention in class instead of talking, you might pull your grade up. Again, he is screaming. And I looked at him and I said, that's your opinion. Ooh, wow, his face turned red as a beet. He said, you go to the principal's office. I felt like saying, it's probably a better environment in there than it is in this place. But I didn't say anything. I went to the principal's office. I'm 72. That happened when I was 13, 14. And that's the first time it's even come to mind that I needed to forgive that man. Because I was totally humiliated, embarrassed. I mean, I just can't tell you. I was like, when he, you know, jumped all over, basically insinuated that my grades were low because I talk in class. And the Lord started showing me other things from childhood. You know, they weren't the biggest things, you know, like the sexual abuse, my mom, you know. But the Lord even showed me, and I hadn't even thought about this. My older brother was a bully. He was 6 years older than I was. And I was absolutely terrified of him. And so I went to my mom when I was, I don't know, maybe third grade. And I said, would you please do something? I said, Martin just keeps, you know, beating on me and picking on me. She never did anything. At least there was no change. And the Lord just brought that to mind. How interesting that he would do that, because I was simply delighting in him. How gracious is the Lord, you know? And he will pull up stuff when we, you know, years ago, the Lord said, I want 3 days, 3 days. I want you to fast for 3 days. No work, no, you know, just spend time with me. And again, I wasn't asking him to reveal stuff to me that needed to be dealt with. He started revealing things, generational things that I didn't even know anything about on the part of my great-grandparents and my grandparents that enabled me to forgive my parents, because there were things that they were programmed to be screwed up in because of things that they had no control over. The Lord is faithful. Let's flip over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Excuse me, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, here we have that word again, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Uh-oh. This is a model for prayer, okay? So, what are you anxious about tonight? All of us have areas where we are weak and as far as anxiety. It can be finances, it can be our kids, it can be anything, it can be our health, it can be we're worried about, you know, what's going to happen, you know, nationally, locally, whatever. Be anxious for nothing. Basically, don't worry about anything. This could be a translation, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. Okay, so yes, it's very legitimate for us to come to the Lord with our request. He wants us to. Okay, but let's look at these two models of prayer. The word for prayer here has the idea of devotion or adoration. So, according to this model for prayer, I don't just jump right into my list of asking God for things. I'm going to start off adoring Him. I'm going to devote myself, you know, I'm going to put my focus on Him and not just run in and just start off with my long list. Okay? That's a general word. For a broader word for prayer. Supplication. Now, we don't have any trouble with the supplication part, do we? That's the easiest part about praying. Lord, I need a job, and I need one quick. I don't have enough money to pay the rent next month. That's supplication, okay? That's the easiest part to pray. That comes natural. The most pagan people in the world, and in a lot of cases, come to God and that's all they do is they just say, God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll stop drinking, or I'll stop stealing, you know, whatever, or I'll be a preacher or whatever it is. What does it say? In everything by prayer, okay, adoring. That's what we start off with. Why? Because we're anxious. And when we're anxious, we're not operating in faith. Our eyes are not fixed on the Lord. They're either fixed on ourselves or other people or the problems that we have. Okay? And that's not the way. The Lord has a higher way of living than being a victim to anxiety. Okay? Now, we all... I'll speak for myself. I think most of us, probably, if not all of us, have anxiety about things. Okay. The question is, am I going to focus on what could happen? Or am I going to adore the Lord and allow His presence to change my focus to Him? again, if I'm just going to bring all my supplications to the Lord, my prayer life's going to go flat pretty fast, I believe. And the Lord doesn't want it to be that way. So what do I have to mix the devotion and the adoration with? Well, again, in the same way that he said it in Thessalonians, he's saying the same thing with a little different twist, that if I want my prayer life to be aligned with this particular pattern for prayer, I need to include thanksgiving with my petition. You know, I think the hardest thing to do is to thank God for the things that we don't, that really we don't like. I'm 72, and my wife divorced me over 20 years ago. I guess 22 or 23. I don't like it. So what do? Well, one thing I do is I thank the Lord that he knows what I feel. And I thank him that he cares about my pain and my loneliness. And I thank him that according to prophetic words that I've received from reliable pastors and so forth, that he has someone else for me. And sometimes I'll say, you know, Lord, it would be nice not to have to wait till I'm 80 before she, whoever this woman is, before we get married. Before I got married at the age of 42, I was in Mexico and I was like going, God, you know, why are you making? Why do I have to wait so long before I get married? And you know what he said? He doesn't usually answer my whys. But he said, Joel, there are a lot of people that will be in heaven because you as a single man can minister day and night without neglecting a wife and kids. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense. So another thing I say to the Lord is, Lord, if I never have another wife, thank you that you will give me the grace not just to endure that, but to celebrate life as a single man. And Lord, you know, if I never see the answer to that, then thank you for giving me grace to reject self-pity and to not compare myself with others. You know, there's a freedom that he gives us. So can you see how close these are? I mean, you know, to me it's really beautiful, because the Lord really doesn't want us to be anxious, but our prayer life has a lot to do with that. It takes a lot more to give thanks to the Lord. The painful things, the hard things, the hurts, the rejections, the abuses. And the Lord is so faithful, you know, he will redeem it all. That's why it says the Lord takes the bad things and he uses them to make us more like him and to prepare us and to give us the capacity to minister to other people and to speak with empathy, with deep insight, because those are things that we've been through, you know? I can't speak to an alcoholic because I've never even been drunk. I don't connect with that, but if I had been an alcoholic, I would be able to understand, you know, exactly what they're going through. Or a drug addict, whatever. You follow? And so the issue comes down to, do I really believe that the Lord will be faithful to do what he says? That he will be faithful to relieve my anxiety He wants me. He desires me to come to Him with everything, but to do it His way, in a posture of faith, in a posture of delighting in Him, giving Him thanks for the problems, giving Him thanks for what He's going to do to change me and enable me to respond in a way that's redemptive, instead of being, you know, just like, you know. We know that's our flesh, right? There's no question about that. You know, when I think of my prayer, is it a monologue or a dialogue? There's a verse in Psalms that says silence is praise. It's a form of praise. I struggle with that, because if I feel like the Lord's not saying anything to me, or, you know, it's like you feel a little awkward. But He delights in us just to be quiet before Him. Lord, is there anything that You want to say? Is there anything that You want me to do today? Is there anyone You want me to call today and pray with or encourage? My prayer for y'all is that you won't make the same mistakes that I made growing up. When I finished seminary, I remember after I had a very dramatic exorcism. Thank you to Kay Arthur for that. The Lord just really started making some big radical changes in my life. And yeah, I prayed every day. And the Lord said, we're going to crank this one up. So I set the timer for 1 hour. And I was like, started praying. And it's like, my goodness. Am I, you know, it's only been 15 or 20 minutes. I've got an hour. That's embarrassing to even say. But I say that because that's where I was. And I can't blame anybody for that specifically, but again, nobody was teaching me this. Nobody was discipling me in this. They just assumed it. You know, okay, I pray every day. You know, and I wasn't giving God the last few minutes of my day. God's ways work. The issue is whether I'm going to do it God's way or do it the way that comes most natural to my flesh. I don't feel like thanking God for the hard, painful things in life. My flesh just almost revolts. But when I do it, I glorify Him, because what I'm saying is, Lord, I really believe what You say, and I believe that You are so powerful. And You are so concerned about every aspect of my life. I'm going to trust You with these. And I'm going to ask You to do something in my life that wouldn't be here if I weren't struggling in this area, if I weren't, you know, really being hurt by this circumstance. Okay, let's pray. And I know this is simple. It's what the Lord laid on my heart. I trust that He's used it to minister to you. Father, thank You that You have brought us to the place where we are in our prayer life. Thank You for taking us to new depths of intimacy with You. Thank You for giving us grace to delight ourselves in You to give you thanks in every circumstance, knowing that that pleases you. It's what it's actually doing your will. And thank you that we can come to you with every need that we have and know that you care, that you're concerned, and you want us to live in your peace as you promised in verse 7, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Prince of Peace, for giving us a divine plan to live free from anxiety and worry. May we get lost in your presence. May thanksgiving flow out of our mouths. May we rejoice in the Lord always, every day, throughout the day, even when we get stuck in a traffic jam. Even when somebody makes a false accusation. Even when somebody says something really ugly. Thank you, Father. Thank you for encouraging all of us in here that our time with you is a highlight. It's something that we enjoy, that we look forward to, because we have grateful hearts. Thank you, Lord. I bless everyone in this room and the families that are represented as well. In your precious name, we